Chuck Swindoll has said that grace comes to us in two dimensions, vertical and horizontal. The vertical dimension centers on our upward relationship with God. Horizontal grace, on the other hand, centers on our relationship with others. It's like a fine oil that lubricates the gears of a harmonious friendship. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck presents a study in Romans 14 that focuses on horizontal grace. As you listen, be thinking about the people in your life who deserve an expression of kindness from you. Chuck titled today's message, The Grace to Let Others Be.
Chapter 14 is a magnificent guideline to follow. Gives us at least four to look after so that we can personify grace. And I think they're all timeless and timely. Look at the first four verses and we'll get the first guideline down. Now accept the one. Oh, there's the key word. That's the key. Accept. Accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. What does that mean? Well, in those days, in those days, the big taboo was, is it right, is it good, is it spiritual to eat meat, part of which had been sacrificed on an idol altar? Weak, young, new, fresh out of idolatry believers couldn't believe that an individual would eat meat from an animal, part of which had been put on an idol's altar. Whereas seasoned, mature believers realize, as Paul says in this chapter, there's nothing to that idol and there's nothing to that carcass. It's good meat, eat it. I'll give you the first guideline after I read these first four verses. Accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who doesn't eat. Okay, those who are strong are not to look down their noses and think, how contemptible an individual is this? Get with it. Grow up. You're not to look with contempt on those who don't eat the meat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats. The two reactions are contempt and judgment. For God has accepted him. He's accepted both. Look at verse 4. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. All right, guideline number one. Accepting others is basic to letting them be. Do not miss that important principle. Accepting others is basic to letting them be. The key is the word accept. The young in the faith are asking, how could you eat that? And the older in the faith are saying, why wouldn't you eat that? Two reactions. One contempt, one judging. Oh my, the list goes on and on. It's not meat nowadays, it's other things. I got a friend who, when he was in youth work years ago, showed the youth, this is years ago, a film, a missionary film. The board called him in. And wanted to know what he'd been doing. He said, well, we saw a movie last night on missionary film. They said, you know, we don't do that here at this church. We don't show movies. Why not? He says, we see slides all the time. Oh, if it's still, fine. If it moves. Sin. Oh. You know why it's funny to you? Because that's not one of your taboos. See what I'm saying? All I got to do is land on yours, and you won't think it's funny, and you think I shouldn't say that. Because it's never addressed in the Scriptures. Oh, you've jammed it in. You've taken a half a verse and made it say what it doesn't say. So they got a bunch of tattoos on. Just be glad you don't. Okay? So they got earrings where you wouldn't think of putting one. You're going to let earrings get in the way? Come on. Verse 5. One person regards one day above another, and you and I know people like that. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. Don't miss that. His own mind, not your mind, his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. He who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. He who does not eat, it's for the Lord he doesn't eat. He gives thanks to God. Notice to whom he answers, to God. Not one of us lives for himself. Not one of us dies for himself. If we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the L-O-R-D-S. We're his. Guideline number two. Releasing others allows the Lord to dictate the details of their lives. Releasing others allows the Lord to dictate the details of their lives. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind, verse 5 says. My advice to you who believe you have the gift of knowing God's will for someone else's life is that you back off, lighten up, save your breath, stop trying to make the other person's mind up. Don't attempt to manipulate him, quit judging him. Oh, you have every right not to agree. Of course you do. That's your right. But please put an end to playing king of the mountain. It's not a fun game in the family. There's enough. We have enough kings in Christ. That's where kings stop. Don't assume that your opinion is the correct one. We get really tight in details of specifics of theology that nobody's ever figured out. Verse 9. To this end, Christ died and lived again that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why, you there, why do you judge your brother? Now that's to the weaker. You know, you who haven't grown up, why do you judge the one who has grown? Why do you feel the need to get him in your camp? You know, or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? That's to the older brother who looks down on the one who can't see things as freely as he does. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. It's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Emphasis on the last word, me, to me. Every tongue should give praise to God. Each one of us must give an account of himself to God. Now this is a very important guideline. Freeing others means we never assume a role we're not qualified to fill. Freeing others means we never assume a role we're not qualified to fill. Now, why aren't we qualified to fill it? Why aren't we qualified to judge some other brother's conclusions or motives? First of all, we don't have all the facts. Second, we're unable to know the true motive. Listen to me. You're unable to know the motive of another individual. Don't think you know it. You think you know it. You don't know it. You're finite. You don't know the big picture. You don't know the whole background. You don't know the whole story. Only Christ knows that. Furthermore, you yourself are inconsistent and imperfect. If we looked at you long enough, we'd find 10 things right away that are wrong, that you keep doing. So you're not qualified. Grace flows freer when we let God be God and we leave the striving to him. Let me tell you something else. When you decide you're going to make a decision for someone else, you will fail to make the right decision because you'll see it from your perspective. I'll tell you, you know what else? You and I got a full-time job keeping up with the person we look at in the mirror. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how holy you come across. You got a full-time job just taking care of you. There's one more, and this is one that kind of grates on those that are growing and learning and really embracing grace. Begins at verse 13. I want you to hear this with the same vigor you've listened to the others. Verse 13. Let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this. Not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Keep listening. I know and I'm convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. There's nothing wrong with that piece of meat. There's nothing in that idol. It's an empty piece of wood or metal or stone or glass. Nothing in itself I consider unclean. But to him who thinks it's unclean, to him it is. Some aren't there yet. If because of food your brother is hurt, you're no longer walking according to love. Don't destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Here's the guideline. Loving others requires us to express our liberty wisely. Loving others requires us to express our liberty wisely. It's very important that you remember there are weaker brothers. I'm not talking about legalists. Legalists are professional weaker brothers. They play that role, but they're tough as a boot, mean as a junkyard dog. Legalists know exactly where they stand. They just don't like what you're doing because it's not what they're doing. This is not the weaker brother. There are people who are really offended when we do certain things out in public that we ought not be doing. So you feel you have freedom to drink a certain beverage, be careful where you do that. Do it in your home. Do it with people who are like-minded, so it's not offensive. But it's unwise to flaunt your liberty. We reared four children, and our oldest is a son, Kurt. As Kurt got to the age where he no longer had to take a nap, remember? When you rear your children, they reach that age. And the other three had to take a nap. And I said to Kurt, psst, come here. Tell you what, buddy, you don't have to take a nap anymore. Oh, really? Oh, that's great. It's like not taking a nap is like freeing, you know. So I said, you don't have to take, but I'll tell you what. I don't want you to walk by their bedroom with their door closed and go, yeah, you little babies, you got to take a nap. And I don't have to nap. You do that, you're going to nap till you're 20, okay? Okay, Daddy. Okay. What was I saying? Don't flaunt your liberty. So you don't have to nap. So you're not limiting like you used to be. Others still are. They're not there yet. And love says I care about them too much to just rub their nose in my freedom. The church needs this message really badly. You and I need it. We really do. Three practical actions to take to carry this out. One has to do with refocusing. One has to do with something to remember. And the third has to do with something to refuse. First, refocus. Refocus on things that encourage harmony and peace. Refocus your life on things that encourage harmony and peace. Remember, love rules. Will this really build up the body of Christ? Is this good? Is this best? Focus on things that encourage harmony and peace. Remember, sabotaging saints hurts God's work. Remember that. When you undercut God's saints, you hurt his work. You may get your way, but you hurt his work. Remember, sabotaging saints hurts God's work. Work. See how he says it in verse 20? Don't tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the one who eats and gives offense. It's not good to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. But there are times you need to appropriately and wisely say some things, always in private and always graciously. But don't sabotage saints. Gossip never works. And some of you are really bad about gossiping. You're really bad about that. You really need to stop it. You have little groups you gossip in. And that's really carnal. That really hurts the work of God. It really hurts our church. So stop doing that. And if you haven't stopped it, then, or if you decide to stop it and the other group doesn't, say to the group, this is wrong. That would be very helpful. Number three. Refuse to play God in anyone else's life. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God, verse 22 says. I like that. The faith that you have as your own conviction before God. And in the process, let people be, please. We'll never have the lost visit our church if we make them like us. Make them look like, smell like, and dress like us. They'll have to take off all their tattoos and pull out all those funny earrings, and they'll have to stop saying bad words, and they'll have to get their life real clean so they look like one of us. And the fact is, we're just as dirty as they are. We just learn how to fake it. We just need to let folks go. I wish someone had told me that very early in my ministry, because I thought being called to ministry meant I was in charge of you. And I spent my time worrying over what you did with what I preached. And I realized later some never really even heard me, much less carried it out. And they answer to the Lord. My job is to tell you. My job is to live it. My job is to admit it when I don't. My job is to communicate clearly and accurately and practically, and then to leave the work to each one of us. So you're on your own. You're going to grow, or you're going to make a mess, or you're going to help others, or you're going to tear others down, and you've got the consequences to face. And I don't have to answer for that. And I will not worry about it. So I'm saying, let go. Let folks go. Remember, I read this anonymous piece some time back. To let go doesn't mean to stop caring. It means I can't do it for someone else. To let go is not to cut myself off. It's the realization I can't control another. To let go is not to enable, but to allow learning from natural consequences. To let go is to admit powerlessness, which means the outcome isn't in my hand. To let go is not to try to change or blame another. I can only change myself. To let go is not to care for, but to care about. To let go is not to fix, but to be supportive. It's not to judge, but to allow another human being to be herself or himself. To let go is not to be in the middle arranging all the outcome, but to allow others to affect their own outcome before God. To let go is not to be protective. It is to permit another to face reality. It's to not to deny, but to accept. It's not to regret the past, but to grow and live for the future. To let go is to fear less and love more. I want all of you to know, everything I've said today has been said by a shepherd who cares about the sheep. I'm an under-shepherd under the one to whom we will all stand before. And I want you to know, I believe you want to live like this. But for some, it's a big struggle. By God's grace, year by year, we get closer and closer to the goal till we're finally with Him. Then we shall be what we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now nor could be soon shall be our own. And we'll be with Him, no competition, and He'll be in control. How good is that? Now my heart breaks for a few of you who don't know Christ, because you're going to try to do all this grace stuff and you just won't have the power to pull it off, and you're going to be frustrated. So let me keep you from the frustration by telling you that unless you know the Lord Jesus in a personal way, you won't be enabled to carry it out. Don't forget I said that. It's a very important fact. Let's bow our heads together. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. We care for whales up there near Alaska, but Jesus cared for souls like yours and mine and those around you. And He died with no one around to help. He died all alone as He paid the price in full for your sins, because He wants to be close to you. He wants to help you live free of addictions and complications and repeated consequences. But if you don't come to him, he won't barge in. He waits for you to invite him. Invite him. Then connect with us. We'll help you grow. Thank you, Father, for your care, which is enormous and constant and consistent. Thank you for your love, which is totally free of prejudice and preferential treatment. Thank you for your kindness, which always disarms us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for leaving the angelic throne room and coming to an ugly, filthy cross to die for our sins. Thank you for stooping to people like us. Otherwise, we'd never know you. Now we do, because of Jesus. In his name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll. He titled his talk, The Grace to Let Others Be. To listen to any portion of this message again, you can find it online at insightworld.org. As an example of grace between three generations, we have the privilege of hearing a brief family chat between Chuck, his daughter, and his grandson. So keep listening to hear their lively conversation. Today, as Chuck described the biblical model for treating others with dignity, maybe you found yourself thinking about a friend who needs a touch of grace from you. Well, our staff handpicked a couple of messages from Chuck that clearly describe how to treat others, even difficult people, in a manner that demonstrates our love. This 2-CD set is titled Balancing Grace with Love. We believe the biblical principles in this mini-series will help you. And you can purchase the 2 CDs right now by going to insight.org/store. This is our mission at Insight for Living Ministries, to help listeners around the world understand the grace of God. And when you give generously to this nonprofit ministry, you're making it possible for others to embrace this message of grace just as you have. So thank you for doing your part in spreading the good news, not only here at home, but into all 195 countries of the world. To invest in this global ministry right now, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or give online at insight.org/donate. And now we have the privilege of hearing an excerpt from a recent conversation that models a grace-filled interaction. This exchange was between Chuck, Chuck's daughter Colleen, and Chuck's grandson Austin, three generations. And you can hear the complete conversation by going to insight.org/generations.
I think in learning grace, it has been through Jonathan.
Yeah, I can agree.
Jonathan is your son, who is a very special person, autistic.
And so
many
more.
A number of other things that only you know fully.
Yeah, before I had kids. Parents whose kids were behaving any certain way outside of what I thought, you know, who was I to know? And then it would take 2 or 3 hours to get to church. And I was so exhausted. And then when things were said, because he wasn't able to handle being out, I didn't go to church for 2 years. So now when other individuals, whatever it is, they may walk slow, drive slow.
I love it that you said some are just slow. And we all move so quickly, and we think quickly, and we drive fast, and we decide fast, and we want to be waited on fast at a restaurant. Some people can't be and choose not to be, and that pleases God that they're not. That's the part of it that has to be remembered.
Because they force us to address our impatience.
They do. They do.
That's just life with Jonathan, you know? I mean, like,
every
day. Well, because that's a big thing with John is like that you are put in a spot where your impatience is faced with his inability to be fast. That's not putting him on the spot and saying, thanks, John. Thanks for being slow. Now sure. I can't take my time. It's like maybe the Lord is using Jonathan's autism as well to help us see like where we are trying to be fast in things. And so one of the – I can agree with the statement that you said about not being able to give grace to people like Jonathan. We were in church a little bit of time ago, and Jonathan is very loud with his singing. Mm-hmm. And he's very – I will
and
say –
And he does not sing on tone.
Yeah, no tone. His tonality's out the window.
But he praises with his heart.
Yeah, you can just see how he has just this gushing heart that just wells up this praise. And then people around, you can kind of see their side eyes, you know? They'll kind of move. They'll kind of look at him or they'll throw some glances. And it's like, yo, dude, like, what are you doing looking at them like that? And you can't even – you don't even want to worship here. And he's trying to worship here. How are you possibly showing grace in that scenario? No, I love how Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about, like, cheap grace and costly grace. It seems like in America it's becoming more prominent. At least I definitely know with my generation. It's like you become a master at showing cheap grace. Like, I will show you grace up until this point. Pretty sure Jesus goes way beyond that with anybody. I mean, in John 9:3, he went beyond that, you know? He says, like, it wasn't this man's sin or his parents' sin that causes blindness. Right. And that's a verse that we relate to our life with Jonathan, you know, it's so the works of God can be shown through him.
I've always loved it about you, Austin, that you are so tender toward John. I melt when I think of it.
I want to say if you're listening and you have a sibling with autism, I understand that that's not always true because I was not always tender with Jonathan. Yeah. Like that's a section of my life where I look back and I just think, oh, man. And that crushes you really deeply because Jonathan has severe disabilities, you know? And so I'm glad to say that like it was definitely a transformational process learning how to show grace to Jonathan. And you know what it was? It was the Lord saying, you've got some stuff you got to work on, dude. Like you really got to work on this area because you can't be harsh with your words like that anymore.
How old are you? Austin?
24.
24. How old are you, Colleen?
I don't know. I'm kidding. 51.
And I'm 84. So we've got a multi-generational threesome here where we've been able to get our arms around a subject that has no age limit and is not in any way related to a particular age where you can learn it. But whether you're 24 or in your 50s or in your 80s, grace is always appropriate.
To hear the full conversation with Chuck, Colleen, and Austin, simply go online and listen at your convenience. There's no cost, of course, and you'll find the entire audio file at insight.org/generations. Listen again Wednesday when Chuck Swindoll describes how to apply grace to our disagreements, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Grace to Let Others Be, was copyrighted in 2005, 2013, and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.